Coast to Coast isn't only defined by baseline to baseline. We go around the country to give you the biggest news from the people who are there. It's the Full Court Press. And now, the man running the point, Jason Anderson.
All right, we continue with ESPN 680 105.7. Jason Anderson with you on this Friday edition of the show. Again, Radio XL, a two-topping extra-large pizza, two-liter for just $14. Go to PapaJohns.com or the Papa John's app. You can check that out there. We're going to play a little sports or leisure coming up here in just a little bit. Dave Skoll is going to be our guest. He'll be hanging out with us for Sports or Leisure. Thank you to Andy Sweeney hanging out with us there in the first hour, talking a lot of college basketball, mainly with the ruling that took place with the Southern District of New York, and Will Wade, Sean Miller not having to testify, not being compelled to testify, the prosecution winning that particular part of the case. So we talked a lot about that, and then the grad transfer rule shot down. They will not have to use two scholarships for 1 year of grad transfer if that person does not graduate from the grad school in 1 year. Which seemed pretty absurd the entire time, but it has not been approved, not been passed. So there you go. All right, 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Right now it's a Full Court Press on this Friday edition. We'll bounce around the country a couple minutes at a time. We head down to Oklahoma City. We found our man Randy Heights, 107.7 The Franchise in OKC. Randy, how are you, sir?
Doing good. How you doing today?
I am doing just fine. Reaction from the first couple of games for the Thunder. Down 2-0 to the Trailblazers. Both of those were on the road, though. So what's the feeling there around the Thunder?
A lot of people are somewhat in dismay. You know, it feels like the team's beating its head against a wall. And what I mean by that is just, I mean, you guys have watched the amount of threes they're taking. And this team has not been a good three-point shooting team all season long, except for about a 15-game stretch in the midseason. They haven't shot the three all year long, and you look at this team and you kind of wonder, why keep shooting these shots when you're more athletic than a lot of guys, when you got guys like Schroeder, you got Russell Westbrook, you got Paul George that can really penetrate, and you make them pay on the inside from inside that arc, and they just seem against it. So a lot of people are somewhat in dismay of what's going on with the Thunder right now. Not so much shocked they're down two games, but just the way they're playing and being down two games.
Is it looking at Russell Westbrook? Is it looking at the whole team? Is it just the way that they're playing, as you talked about right there? Westbrook, after the game, says it's on him. He's got to play better. But is that the view, that it is on him?
I will say this. Most criticism Russell Westbrook has faced since he's been here by himself. I know Paul George is here, but I guess I'd say since the post, you know, Kevin Durant era, yeah, definitely a lot of criticism towards him and the way he's playing. And then there is a lot of criticism starting to come out towards the general manager, Sam Presti, as well, because when you look at this payroll as big as it is, and yet at the same time, you can see glaring deficiencies, but as much money as they spent on payroll, there's no way to fix this team right now. So a lot of people are starting to criticize with how this team has been put together, knowing, hey, you gave Steven Adams a $25 million contract, and he's a great player, a really good player, but he doesn't fit the modern-day NBA to give him a $25 million deal.
Yeah, it's a good point. Is there unrest or anything like that with Billy Donovan? Is his job in danger if they were to fall to the Blazers here in the first round?
You know, I think everyone questions that a lot. I mean, you know as well as I do, in the NBA, players are never the scapegoats as far as being the ones fired. They have guaranteed contracts. Mm-hmm. So if it's not Presti, I mean, Donovan's probably the first head to roll. And the only question mark is now, that is, of course, Sam Presti's good friend when he brought him in from the University of Florida. You wonder, does he get another year? Does Presti stick with him? Because this was his hire. He made the move from Scott Brooks to move towards Billy Donovan. Does he stay with him another year? Or does he make the move to someone else?
Yeah, or does he get told it's him or both of you? Like, if he's given that alternative.
Exactly. Yeah, that could be the case, too, as well.
Okay, so what do you think about now going into Game 3? There isn't as much concern of Paul George's shoulder that there was coming out of Game 1 because he looked better in Game 2. So what's the feeling now with Game 3 down 2-0 to the Blazers? What do you think of this matchup now that it returns to Oklahoma City?
The way this Thunder team has especially been in the second half of the season, I kind of expect them to come out and win tonight. I mean, that's the way they've been. As soon as you start writing them off, no matter who they're playing, they come back and have a phenomenal game. And, you know, even the series up probably tonight, or not even it up, but go down 2-1 in the series after tonight. But I'll say this, as much as I'll sit here and tell you I expect them to play well tonight, being back home and, you know, kind of riding the ship, you can't put faith in this team and however they play tonight, if they play well, coming back and playing that same way on Sunday. This team has been a total Jekyll and Hyde team in the second half of the season, and no one can really figure out why. That's been the weirdest part about this team in the second half.
Is it annoying that Cantor played a role as he did in one of those wins for the Blazers?
I will say, you know, it's kind of funny, and if Billy Donovan has gotten blame for this, it's because if you remember the last year Cantor was at the Thunder, they didn't even play him in the playoffs because Donovan was quoted saying, Cantor, you can't afford to play him because he doesn't play defense. And yeah, he was maybe one of the main reasons. I mean, with a 20-18 game in game one, yeah, he's one of the main reasons they lost that game, playing defense, playing offense. So yeah, the fan base was not happy after game one, let me tell you.
All right, are the Sooner fans happy after spring ball seeing Jalen Hurts? Is there much to take away in this spring game when the Alabama quarterback is now leading the team?
You know, I think a lot of people like what they saw from talking to media, from talking to fans. They're very excited about his upside and the way he was performing. But again, it's a spring game. He's got a young offensive line. They're replacing four guys off that Joe Moore award-winning offensive line. The only guy returning is center Creed Humphrey. And let's be honest, they were going against the Oklahoma defensive line, which I think will make improvement under Grinch in his first year here. But at the same time, it's still the first year. It's the first spring, you know, so no one's quite sure what they've seen. They like what they saw as far as him as athletic ability, making reads. And what I liked about Jalen Hurts, I knew he was fast at Alabama. It looked like he picked up speed a little bit somewhat in this scrimmage, you know, last Saturday night. So that was kind of a plus for him. If he can add that mobility, because I think he may need it, especially in the first four or five games until that line really gets a cohesive gel unit going there. I think he may need to use that mobility, and I liked what I saw out of him there last Friday night.
See, three Heismans in a row at Oklahoma. We'll see if that's
the case.
How about
this? He moved up to fourth in the Vegas charts yesterday.
There you go.
That's crazy.
Well, I mean, you know what? The pedigree is there. You know what they say in Vegas, don't bet against the trend. So it looks like Oklahoma, another Heisman winner
there. I get a feeling Kelly Bryant won't be that high on the ratings.
Interesting. Thank you, Magic. I appreciate that, buddy. Randy Heights, 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City. Randy, as always, appreciate the time, sir.
No problem. Talk to you later, Jason.
I mean, if Bobby got the job there, maybe then Kelly Bryant, you know? Let's go ahead and hire that guy, Petrino. He knows about Heisman winners, am I right? He turned a wide receiver into quarterback for the Ravens. Soren Petro, WHB there in KC. Soren, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Jason. How are you?
I am doing just fine. The news coming out around, at least nationally, from what's going on there with the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill. Practicing and showing up for workouts, but the news is that his child has been taken out of the home as the investigation continues. I know there's so many different things probably going on, so can you unwrap what is happening, I guess, with Tyreek Hill and how much in question his future is, maybe with the Chiefs and certainly with the NFL as well?
Yeah, you bet. And you know, quick Cliff Notes version of the background. I think most people know Tyreek Hill battered his girlfriend at the time at Oklahoma State, and the girlfriend that he had a child with. That's what basically had him in trouble and had everybody protesting the draft pick of Tyreek Hill in the fifth round 3 years ago. He came in under, like I said, a lot of duress. Chiefs took a lot of heat. They said, listen, we're aware of what he's done. We think he deserves a second chance. We got a program that he's got to follow, and he better do it. Otherwise, we'll walk away from him. By all accounts, he had done that marvelously. The thing that popped on the radar screen for me where, wait a minute, we might have a problem, is the Chiefs spent $16 million with the number 4 offense and the number 27 defense on a wide receiver last offseason. They brought in Sammy Watkins. I said, wait a minute, where is this going? We find out a little bit later that he is now moved in and is engaged to the same girl that he battered at Oklahoma State. I don't know about anybody else, when difficult relationships have gone on, you know, there's breakups, you get back together, it doesn't work. I don't know anyone who has the relationship that, Oh, it was terrible. But we got back together, and now we've been married for 40 years. Just happy every day. I think the Chiefs were filing their first insurance policy when they signed Sammy Watkins because they knew at that time that he was getting back together with this woman. She is now pregnant with twins that are on the way. And everything, again, appeared on the surface to be good. Tyreek Hill said all the right things, said he wanted to be a great father. That was his goal. Chiefs were playing great football. Tyreek Hill was a marvelous player. And then about a month and a half ago, comes out that Child Services are called twice to his residence. No real details are out there other than looking back on his Instagram photo, his three-year-old son. There are pictures of him with a cast on his arm. Debates about whether or not the arm was broken or injured in some other way, but definitely had a cast on his arm. Then there's someone connected to the girlfriend who is sending out Instagram messages and tweets saying, why isn't anybody looking into what's going on in Tyreek Hill's house? What's happening? Now then the media jumps on it, starts talking about it. That's when the report comes out from Adam Schefter. Everybody assumes it's an immediate release. Doesn't happen. Time rolls by. Nothing is going on. Tyreek Hill begins to Instagram, talk about how hard he's working. A week ago, then he's back at the facility when they announce OTAs are up and running and have all their press conferences. They don't make him available to the media. Andy Reid says nothing other than, yes, he's here and I said hello to him. Patrick Mahomes says Andy Reid said everything we have to say about him. Brett Veach had his draft press conference, the general manager, yesterday. He said Andy Reid has spoken about this already. I have nothing to add to it. And really, Andy Reid said nothing. And then finally, it comes out yesterday, Channel 5, the local CBS affiliate here in town, puts out that the child has been removed from the home. We've got basically three people that live in a house and nobody's talking, and a child who had a cast on his arm, and nobody's sure what's going on. So do we know definitively what happened? No. We know that Tyreek Hill was drafted as a player that was at risk when the Chiefs made that move. They made it clear that they would tolerate nothing with him, that they expected him to follow their program, which according to everybody actually in the Chiefs organization, he's gone to his counseling. He's done everything they asked him to do. In fact, his probation ended and everything at Oklahoma State has been expunged from his record, but certainly not the memory of the Kansas City Chiefs and the fans. And so here we sit waiting to see what this all means. Most people feel like if you came in under a zero tolerance policy, then this is not less than 0%.
Yeah.
This is a problem when a child has to be removed from your house. Whether it's a bad decision to get back with your former girlfriend that led to this, whether it's her fault, your fault, either way, this is not a good situation and not a good look for the Chiefs. They're saying nothing, and I won't be shocked if there's some kind of pennies on the dollar deal and he's traded on draft day or released sometime in the very near future.
It's interesting about that part, so we might see next week. Because my thought was, if he's working out with the Chiefs, there's that jaded aspect that always comes up in sports that certainly we're aware of. And one of the things that I think of is, well, maybe Kareem Hunt, while a phenomenal player, in that offense a little bit more replaceable, whereas Tyreek Hill is way more integral to what makes that thing go, along with Patrick Mahomes. So let's see what we can do to work around this and work with Tyreek Hill and be those that are helping him on the right path. And also, he's really, really good.
And let me say this, the Chiefs organization did step up and say that morality and not embarrassing the organization, the city, is important when they release Kareem Hunt immediately. And this is a different situation. There is no video of what happened, so the Chiefs are in a precarious spot. I think it's clear they've been counseled by lawyers. They've had legal advice on how to handle this and to basically say nothing. So some people tried to say, well, he's back at the organization. That's a good sign. The Chiefs won't use the word good or bad or any adjective to describe what's going on with him. I think that's clear that the lawyers have said, listen, you need to distance yourself from this. You basically can just confirm that he's there, and that is it. And where it goes from here, we don't know. Most of us, I think, that aren't just being fanboy feel that it's going to end with him not being a part of the Kansas City Chiefs in some way, shape, or form. Is he still a part of the NFL? We don't know. Listen, the law and then team or workplace policies can run into each other. They don't always agree with each other. Should the man go to jail? And not if you don't have some kind of evidence that he's done something wrong. Should the girlfriend go to jail? Not if you don't have some kind of evidence that they've done something wrong. But clearly, when you remove the child from the home, you've decided that's not a safe environment for a child. You may just not know who's responsible for it. Either way, for the Chiefs, this is a situation that they don't want to be in. I think they've set a precedent for how they will handle it. And it's just a matter of getting to a point where they legally can do what they need to do for contractual reasons and to deal with the NFL PA, which will rightfully stick up for all of his legal rights. I think this is just a sticky situation that ultimately we will find Tyreek Hill not being a part of the Chiefs organization when it's all said and done, some way, somehow.
Okay. On the college basketball front, Kansas has officially filed their appeal paper for Sylvia D'Souza. Will we see D'Souza in a Jayhawk uniform anytime soon, or is this sort of a formality that Kansas is at least trying, that they've got the players back, but it's not going to result in anything?
Kansas feels very confident that he will be, that they will get, they win this appeal, that they will shorten the timeline, that basically, for lack of a better term, time served or suspension served will be enough. Kansas also thought that 8-9 games would be about the extent of the suspension and ended up being basically 2 seasons. So the Kansas side of things is they feel confident that Sylvia D'Souza received the only confirmed amount of money that exchanged hands was about $6,000. The precedent for that amount of money has been about 9 games. He's already served 1 year, so clearly that precedent has been thrown out, or the NCAA is trying to set a new precedent. Sylvia D'Souza and Kansas are being used as the example to try to teach schools to stay away from situations like this, teach players, teach agents, teach everybody. Now, listen, we're going to start being more strict. So will he be back? Again, Kansas thinks so. Most people don't. Why would the NCAA back off of this? We expect this to drag on into the summer for sure and probably right up to next year's basketball season. So the question is, does Sylvia D'Souza go play basketball for money somewhere? If not the NBA, then somewhere. He has not declared for the draft. And I think that's something you need to watch and see. If he does put in for it, then you think he has to be getting some kind of news that he doesn't, that he's not going to get reinstated. Kansas is going to try, but when it's all said and done, it's going to come down to the NCAA, and most people don't think that they're really going to get hard after making any decision about Sylvia D'Souza until they hear all the information that comes out over the next 2 trials. Now, as you, I'm sure, have talked about, Jason, because you do a great job on these subjects, Sean Miller and Will Wade are not going to have to come forward and stand on the witness stand. So that takes out a major piece of the, hey, college basketball's broken defense that was used in the first trial and seems like the defense in this trial. But I think either way, we've got the trial that's about ready to get going. We've got 1 in June. I don't think anything is going to be done until the NCAA can gather any and all information that comes out of those trials. Then they'll get serious about Sylvia D'Souza, and then it becomes about what kind of opportunities does he have and how much does he want to play college basketball versus going and earning hundreds of thousands of dollars to at least play overseas.
Seren Petro, WHB there in Kansas City. Seren, great stuff, man. Very much appreciate the time today. Have a good weekend.
Jason, same to you, buddy. You're the man.
To Boston we head. We find our man Kyle Draper, Comcast Sports New England there in Boston. Kyle, how are you, sir?
Great, Jason. Just getting ready for tonight's Game 3, man. This is going to be a big one tonight between the Celtics and Pacers.
Yeah, it should be a huge one up the road coming up in, 4.5 hours from now. We'll talk a little bit about the Red Sox here, but let's talk about that. Let's start there. You brought it up. They win Game 2. It looked nip-tuck for a while, a big fourth quarter. Was that game, that's maybe the biggest moment for Kyrie in a Celtics uniform?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And think about it. Kyrie missed the playoffs last season. The Celtics went on that run without him. And then back in January, he was talking about wait till the playoffs come. I mean, he was the leader of that flip the switch brigade and a guy that said, you know what, when the playoffs come, we'll turn it up. So he's been doing all the talk, and in Game 2, he actually backed it up. And I think, you know, not only his play on the floor and how excited and into it he was, but some of the comments he made afterwards, you know, talking about winning the game at the Garden and feeling so happy to be a part of this. I think Celtics fans ate that up, man. And so I think that was his greatest moment in the Celtics uniform.
How much do you think that fourth quarter changed then the outlook of this series? You mentioned big game tonight. It's a big game with the Celtics leading 2-0 instead of it being tied 1-1. What did that fourth quarter do, do you think, to the Celtics team?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how much it did to the Celtics. I'm sure if you're the Pacers, you feel like you let one slip away.
Yeah.
Now you head back to Indiana, you know, in your eyes, if you're the Pacers, you feel like you can play with this team. You know, you take away the third quarter of Game 1 and the fourth quarter of Game 2, and the Pacers have actually outscored the Celtics by 19. to me, if you're the Celtics, how you played in that fourth quarter is how you have to play against the better teams. If you're talking about a championship, and if you face Milwaukee in the next round, you're not only going to have contributions from Kyrie, obviously, but I thought Jason Tatum was phenomenal as well. And so maybe that showed them the blueprint of what they need to do going forward.
What happened in that third quarter in Game 1 and the fourth quarter in Game 2? And whatever happened there, can it be replicated and brought out more consistently?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the opponent. Let's call it like it is. Indiana's a great story. They have some good players, but they don't have that superstar that can get them a bucket when they need it. And I think that was the story in the Game 1 and Game 2. If you throw Oladipo out there, we're having an entirely different conversation,
yeah.
I think, after these first two games. And so I just think, you know, sure, the Celtics turned up the pressure a little bit, but you could also argue the Celtics haven't played well in these first two games, and yet they've still beaten the Pacers. I think that's because the Pacers don't have that alpha dog, that A1 superstar.
What do you think happens tonight? Is this one to where we see in the NBA playoffs, you know, Indiana? If it goes to form, this would be a game that Indiana gets. So what do you think about tonight's matchup?
Yeah, and I think we'll see the best of the Pacers tonight. You know, some of the role players will play better at home. I had this series going five, and I think the Pacers get tonight. I just think, you know, while they should feel upset that they let one get away on, you know, in Game 2, they should also feel confident that they can beat the Celtics team based on how they played the first two games of this series. So I expect another hard-fought game, but you got to imagine Banker's life is going to be rocking tonight. I expect the Pacers win, but then the Celtics to close them out at five after that.
All right, we'll see if that's the case. Well, real quick, though, before we move on to the Red Sox, if we're looking bigger picture, Kyle, like, what's the minimum advancement in the playoffs for the Celtics for it to not be, you know, underwhelming, a disappointment this year?
I think they got to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals at the very least. But the problem, Jason, is there are four teams in the Eastern Conference who think they should at least get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And so two of those teams will have highly disappointing ends to their seasons, whether it's Milwaukee, Toronto, Philly, or the Celtics. I think all four of those have legitimate shots that make it into the Eastern Conference Finals, really to the NBA Finals. And so anything short of an Eastern Conference Finals berth, I mean, it's a disappointment.
All right, speaking of disappointment, it's been the Boston Red Sox so far. Coming off a World Series, they're 6-13. They've got the second-worst run differential in Major League Baseball, only 7 runs better than the Miami Marlins. What is going on with the Red Sox? What's happening there, and what are you seeing?
I don't know if it's a little World Series hangover or what, but you mentioned the run differential. I mean, think about it. They're giving up a lot of runs, and they aren't scoring any runs, I mean, which is, you know, you would think with this Red Sox team and that kind of lineup that they have, Mookie Betts is obviously off to a slow start this season. The team offensively is off to a slow start. The starting pitching has been moderately better over the last week or two. But, you know, there's so many holes right now. I think every position needs to play well. They just put Dustin Pedroia on the disabled list, and I don't know how much they'll be able to, if at all, count on him this season. I just feel like, you know, there's a little World Series hangover, and maybe they aren't, you know, I think we're also spoiled by 108 wins last season. You know, maybe they caught lightning in the bottle. Maybe this is a more of a 92-93 win team, but I think when you win 108 games, when you roll through the playoffs and win the World Series, expectations are high. And I don't think anybody obviously expected them to be this bad, but it's still early. But I think this is, you know, when you talk about what's going on in Major League Baseball, to me, this is like the major story, just, you know, the struggles of the Red Sox this early in the season.
What happens first? People see the Kraft video or a new Lombardi trophy that's not dented anymore?
Dude, I'm telling you, Robert Kraft is fighting that big time, man, over his dead body.
I will challenge the Supreme Court of Florida if I have to.
I know. And who actually don't want to see that video?
No.
You know, I don't know if, you know, I might be on Kraft's side of this. I don't need to see that video.
I'm fighting for Kraft on this one as well.
Exactly. But, you know, they say that, you know, somebody leaked the video and it's being shopped around. And eventually it's going to come out, right?
Yeah,
this
always
is how these things work. And so it's fun times down there in Foxborough. Gronk denting the Lombardi trophy and then saying oopsie as only Gronk can. You know what they? But they say, you know, they might leave it like that too, and have that as part of the story. Of that trophy, you know, which would be crazy.
Yeah, look, we got this trophy. Why is it dented? Well, we had a meathead on our team as well.
So, right, you know, exactly.
Just a remembrance to sort of to remember that guy. Kyle Draper, Comcast Sports New England there in Boston. Kyle, as always, you're the man. I very much appreciate the time today, bud.
All right, man. Take care. Talk to you soon.
All right, there's a full court press on this Friday edition. Jason Anderson with you. We continue heading up until 6 o'clock. We got a little sports or leisure coming up on the other side of the break. The phone number 267-9680 to play some sports, to play some leisure. I will tell you what the categories will be, how we'll play, all of that stuff. Dave Skull, Big Biscuit's going to join us, and we will have a little fun
on the
other side. If you want to have a little fun with the ponies, TVG is the spot for you, TVG.com or the app. All of the big races going on. It's getting closer and closer. What are we, 2 weeks from tomorrow? 2 weeks from today, we've got the Oaks. 2 weeks from tomorrow will be the Derby, and plenty of racing across the country going on until that rolls up. So TVG.com is the spot for you if you want to start betting, if you want to take advantage of what is a really cool betting experience at TVG. Download the app, TVG app, or go to TVG.com/Jason for this exclusive offer. TVG will double your first deposit up to $100. That's within 15 days. And there's more. If you make your first deposit of $100 or more, TVG will give you an extra free $20 to bet so you can play with $220. And some of the cool things, the fact that they've got all the analysis of the horse races. They've got some of the best in the business. You can watch the races on your Amazon Fire Stick or Roku or Apple TV. They've got really cool promotions that you're not going to find anywhere else. You're certainly not going to find it walking up to a window. One of those money back specials that they have for different races. Derby Day, they'll have money back specials. If you place a bet on your horse to win and it finishes second or third, you get your money back. They've also got Super 8 contests, which you can win $100,000. They've got a number of other things as well that you can go and check out at TVG.com. The most exciting time in horse racing, it is underway. Sign up with TVG today and make a first deposit, and they'll match it up to $100 within 15 days. And there's more. If you make your first deposit of $100 or more, you get an extra free $20. Do not miss out on this exclusive offer. Download the TVG app or go to TVG.com/Jason and sign up. That is TVG.com/Jason. Agent residency restrictions apply. Void where prohibited by law. See full terms and conditions. That's at TVG.com/Jason. All right, we'll play a little sports or leisure that comes up. We'll talk with Dave Skull. We'll be our guest on the other side of the break. Again, 267-9680 is the phone number to play some sports or leisure as we are hanging out here in the Papa John's studio. Boy, good day to have some Papa John's. Radio XL, two-topping extra large pizza, just $14, and a two-liter comes your way. Radio XL, two-topping extra large pizza, $14, and they give you a two-liter as well. We'll tell you what prizes you can play for on the other side of the break. It's ESPN 680 105.7.
All the latest news from the people who are there. The Full Court Press on Kentuckiana's ESPN 680.
You are listening to The Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com. You are listening to The Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.